or Oregon. Our webpage is up right there.
Paul Farmton with the Multi-Agency Law Enforcement Task Force designed to intercept online predators. Finally, artificial intelligence is a subject of human fascination from the early days of science fiction through the realities of today's technologies. We've seen more and more machines do what humans used to do. Diane Cook's a researcher with the Washington State University School of Electrical Engineering and Computer Sciences and has a unique outlook on what this technology may bring us in the future. She's speaking at a public seminar coming up next Friday. We'll tell you about that in a bit. You could go to that if you wanted to. Diane, how do we perceive AI in our current setting?
We think of artificial intelligence as the ability to imbue machines with intelligence that we normally see in natural creatures. So we would like to design computer algorithms that can perform tasks that humans traditionally take on or be able to exhibit the types of features that we see in human intelligence, the ability to reason, the ability to learn and communicate.
So computers, which started out really as just a way to do a large number of calculations very rapidly, have progressed into sort of another realm, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we would like to be able to delegate some of the tasks that we don't want to do or are too difficult for us to do to computers. And with AI, they should have the ability to take those on.
So the computer has, much as a human does, has to take in the information about a specific situation and quickly analyze that and make a decision.
That's right. That's right. It needs to be able to take data, which might be raw sensor information, and reason about it, make a decision of what to do based on that reasoning, and then possibly take an action that will affect the environment and help it achieve its own computer goals.
Now, I've heard the phrase fuzzy logic kicked around. Is that a part of the equation?
That is a part of artificial intelligence, certainly, and that's useful in many control systems and the ability to reason about objects that might not fully belong in a set, such as the fact that at least when we look at a Pullman today, we cannot say that it's very sunny. Perhaps it's a little sunny, but certainly not fully sunny. So fuzzy logic allows us to reason in that way.
Make judgment calls, in other words.
I guess fuzzy logic allows us to reason about things that are not fully one value or another, one set or another.
Let's talk about some of the potential of these things. Are we talking robots?
If we're talking AI, then definitely robots would be a part of it because this is a physical agent that can take AI and make it portable and allow the reasoning to be extended to manipulation of environment that a PC on your desktop won't be able to do.
What are some roles that these things might step into? You talked about some things that we don't want to do or that we find unpleasant or we find cumbersome. So what are some of the things you could see happening up the road with some artificial intelligence?
Well, in terms of the tasks that we don't want to perform, you mentioned robots, and this is a good environment in which we can send our robot agents to do tasks we don't want to perform, such as send them into hazardous situations to try to ferret out landmines or go into areas that have been destroyed by bombs and have them look for survivors, situations which would be too hazardous for humans. Robots can assist in that setting.
Interesting. I see here that there are some technologies or some applications in medicine that might be useful.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the projects that we are doing here at Washington State is to use artificial intelligence to learn information from sensor data that's collected in an everyday environment, such as your home. This raw data can be collected with sensors that you purchase from Home Depot or Lowe's, but an AI algorithm would learn from this information what your typical daily activities are and can monitor, in the case of elder adults, whether these important activities are being performed on a regular basis and might identify areas in which the computer can actually help by reminding you to take your medicine at the right time or by assisting with automating some tasks if necessary.
If you're supposed to be getting a regimen of exercise, the computer, the robot could recognize it and tell you to get off your fat rear end. And
that's right.
Get out the door and do your stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the smart homes of the future. Give me a sense, give me a picture of 10 years, 15, 20 years up the road, what a smart home might be like.
Well, we would hope that when you walk into a smart home, you wouldn't be impressed when you look around, because you actually aren't going to see anything other than your home. We want the computer and the learning ability to be embedded inside your existing home. The difference you would experience is in what the home can do for you, what services it can provide. So can the computer learn your daily activities and assist you in them? For example, it may learn what time you like to get up in the morning and how warm you want the house to be at that point, and it will start warming up the house in sufficient advance so that it's ready for you at the time that you do get up. It may know what your morning ritual is and assist you by getting the shower water warm and turning on the coffee maker. It can alert you if there are anomalies in the home when you're not there. It can call you at your office or maybe let you know on your PDA that there's a possible intruder, or maybe you left the iron on, or there's something else that you need to look into. The homes of the future would be providing a lot of the caregiving service that's currently being provided by family members or friends or other caregivers in terms of making sure that you are performing your daily activities, that you're getting out of bed, that you are up and haven't fallen, and can play the role of alerting the caregiver that help is needed if such a situation does occur.
Where is the line beyond which we can't cross in terms of what we can make, in essence, computers, very sophisticated computers, obviously, but and humanity? I mean, where is that thing that we can't create a computer, for example, that will have empathy, right?
It depends on how you define empathy. We have found that as soon as you can formalize a particular emotion or ability that you sense in humans, then there might be a way to simulate it. And that's what we're talking about. Computers are simulating emotions because they are built differently and have different fundamental architectures. We cannot say that they have empathy, but we can design them to simulate empathy. So is there a difference between the ability to simulate empathy and truly have it? That's a good discussion for philosophers.
Is there a possible, if not dark side, annoying side to this? I know we've just been through the political season, and many of us have gotten dozens of what these things call robocalls, right? Where they have figured out, I guess demographically, who is likely to be somebody they could reach with their political message, and it dials and you get a recorded message from the candidate. You know, I talked to Barack Obama personally. I challenged him to a one-on-one basketball game in 10 minutes. He didn't show up.
Oh, what a disappointment.
I know. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I do. And in fact, a smart home, if we're going to focus on that aspect of AI, needs to be responsive to just how much interaction is wanted, or else the person with the smart home is going to turn off the technology. There are issues about privacy, and there are concerns about Big Brother watching, mm-hmm. and that is also something that we are continually addressing. For example, all the data that's collected and all the reasoning that goes on should be done within the home and would not be stored anywhere, so you're not going to be sharing any of these insights with anybody else unless you want to. And while many people ask our older adults and any portion of the population adverse to this technology because they're going to be observed, when we speak with people in dementia support groups, they are very, very open to the idea of having automated monitoring technologies. The alternative is to go in an assisted care facility where they lose even more of their privacy. And I think as the population becomes more aware of what technology is about and what it could provide, they will see that there is not the loss of privacy that they are worrying about.
Your project is fascinating, Diane, and if people are interested in finding out more about what you're doing and what it's about, what's the website for that?
The website for our project is ailab.eecs.wsu.edu/CASAS, C-A-S-A-S. We welcome people to visit the web, take a look, and send us their questions and suggestions.
Diane Cook's seminar, Smart Environments, Artificial Intelligence at Home and Beyond, is noon to 1:30 this Friday at the WSU Vancouver campus in the Furstenberg Student Commons. Cost is $30. Find out more or buy tickets at www.vancouverusa.com or call the Chamber of Commerce at 360-694-2588. That's all the time we've got for the Sunday Magazine Show this week. Join us again.